And welcome to this week's episode of Comes Naturally. Yuck. All right. So before the introductions, like normal, we will go to some business from Captain Flipping Us Off, Michael.
Yes. Business. As usual, this podcast is absolutely free. So if you want to show some support in any way, we got a couple little things we ask you to do. First of all, go to our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page and then share our Facebook page to the world.
Yeah.
After you share us to the world on Facebook, you go to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is.
Also, my turn.
Yeah, I took it last time. I talked over you because I took it last
time. At Comes Natural Pod. So professional.
Wonder why we don't have him picking us up.
Yep, we're fun.
Good.
Yeah.
So, Central Pod.
Yeah, you go there, follow us on there, and then, like, tweet us stuff and, like, say hi and, like, retweet our shit and favorite our shit and promote us.
I don't know.
After that, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, and then rate and review our podcast if you haven't done so already. That would be greatly appreciated. Anything you'd like to add to that, Cody?
And if you're listening to us on Android,
I don't have an Android, so I always leave that part for you.
If you're not using the app Podcatcher, download it from the Google Play Store. It is fantastic. The instructions are on the Facebook page, so if you need to find it and know how to set it up. But newly added to the Podcatcher app is the ability to share on social media like Facebook and Twitter. So if you're listening to that us on that app, please pause it and go share and then come back and listen. We'll wait.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome. Welcome. If you didn't pause it yet, now you're welcome. All right. So, yeah. On today, well, actually,
is that Nas?
What?
Welcome back song? That was Nas, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like in 05, 06 when it came back.
Who knows?
That was the anthem of my summer, Joe.
Right. Anyways.
Just turn your hat on backwards. Like, I've never
seen you. So gangster.
Right? It's like a switch.
And he turns it backwards. Just turn it on. Anyways.
I'm down Lincoln Hawk.
Comes Naturally Podcast. We are.
You should get a Joe. Blaster t-shirt. Mike.
And I am Cody.
No special guest today.
Yeah,
because
fuck you, Eric.
Watch the whole movie with us and then bailed.
Bitch. So on today's episode.
He'll know.
He's actually going to listen to the show now.
Well, you got to give, like, say one key mean thing to him. And if you can ask him about it and see if he actually, like, we'll test him. See if he actually listens to it or not.
You have one lazy eye.
One lazy eye monger. Which he doesn't have a lazy eye, but now he's like, what the fuck? A lazy eye won't know a lesson. So we're on to you, motherfucker.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
You still got your hat on backwards, bro. It's freaking me out. I don't like that. Anybody who knows Joe, he only wears his hat one way, and that's forward, not backwards.
Not no more. It's a new Joe. It's a motherfucking Joe.
Whatever, dude.
Anyways, on today's show, we did Torture Theater. And we did the 1994 classic, A Street Fighter.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Amongst other
people. The fourth greatest action star of the 90s.
Fourth greatest?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Go.
Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Willis, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
So four, huh?
Yep.
I mean, you could throw Mel Gibson in there, but I think of him more of a tandem, you know? Because of Lethal Weapons.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Those were still a little bit later than this movie, too, weren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Bam! Fourth greatest action star of the 90s, Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's official.
Yeah, you just dubbed him Van Damme.
All right, fair
enough. You've just been Van Damme.
So kicked awkwardly into a splits position?
Yeah.
Is that what that means? Or is he, like, does the splits and punch you in the nuts, right?
He didn't do the splits at all.
They must have cut it out. He must have been pissed.
Yeah.
I worked it in and they took it out.
I have one rule. It's in every contract. I must do the splits.
Belgian fuck.
And then give me a slow motion as I yell wide-eyed into the screen.
And a couple years before this, if the other thing was written in his contract is a sex scene. Sex scene was just full-on throwing it in some broad.
Well, he wanted to in this movie.
He had a really, like, I don't want to say graphic because it wasn't like porno style, but he had like a real graphic sex scene in that movie Desert Heat. No, yeah, Desert Heat with Danny Trejo was in that one.
Was that Desert Heat?
I was going to say, because there's also the one in
where
is it Hard to Kill, right? Where he gets nursed by Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah.
They have that hardcore one in the...
Hard to Kill?
Or not.
That was Steven Seagal.
Oh, no. What's the one he had? He had one where it was like...
It's like a farmhouse.
Kelly LeBrock was a Steven Seagal.
Yeah, it was the farmhouse one where it was like straight up like...
Is that Nowhere to Run?
I think it was Nowhere to Run, yeah.
Might be, yeah.
Nowhere to Run, he had a cool old bike. All I remember about that one.
Yeah. Did you notice the picture they gave Jean-Claude Van Damme on IMDb?
No. Well, which one is
it?
Oh,
it's awful.
Hard Target mullet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, dude.
Yeah, dude. It's black and white.
That's the best one. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Okay, anyway, so we'll start with Mike, since we have no one else. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. We're going to start with Joe. We're mixing it up today.
No. We're starting with Cody.
No. Cody. Because I went first the last time.
Did you?
With Mario Brothers that haven't been no one's listened to yet because it hasn't been posted.
I'm
as
pretty
of
sure
right
you
now.
Just started talking and we just
nope.
From there.
He made me go first.
Anyway,
Joseph, you're first. Your thoughts on this amazing movie?
Amazing.
It honestly is amazing.
No, it's not.
Well, much like many of these movies that we watch, not all, many. I remember seeing him in theaters, and I absolutely remember going to see it in theaters with my dad. We even got the little Topps like playing cards, or not playing cards, just like baseball cards that they were giving out back in theaters when theaters used to be cool like that and give you free, really random shit. But no, I love it. It's cheesy.
And I love it.
It's awful.
And I love it.
These are things
it ties
that
in, like,
don't describe a movie that you should actually love. Cheesy and awful is not how that should work. So.
You do not know my childhood because I watched
your childhood
TV
was cheesy
shows.
And awful.
Briscoe County Jr. Loved amazing. That TV show. Xena Warrior Princess. Adventures
of
Hercules.
But this was, those were like... Those were made on a budget of $12 each.
I'm pretty sure this was made on a budget
no,
of $12.
No, that's when they ran out.
$33 million.
Yeah, ridiculous. We'll go into that in a
which
second.
Which, if you account for inflation, is like $12.
We pointed out, this is based on a video game.
This is actually
which we
violent.
Find out based on Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Which was
which I laughed because there's like nothing.
Well, because if you ever see Street Fighter 1, A, it looks nothing like Street Fighter 2 ever did, but because it doesn't have, it just has a guy in a white gi and a guy in a red gi.
Yeah.
And they were called Ken and Ryu, I think. But it, like, it had none of the real like.
Oh,
the
so
cast
Street
of
Fighter
characters.
2 is when like the rest
they,
of
yeah when they got all those
in.
Ones yeah okay. So like and it was awful because like original Street Fighter was bad, like remember Mortal Kombat like when they tried to do live action with the humans like that was like oh revolutionary but kind of like awful looking. This is like just above 8-bit maybe 11-bit characters you know like it was bad news like the only reason you could tell the difference between two characters is because one was red and
one
was
white
yeah. It was bad news. I think they pretty much just switched the colors. Like, fuck it. Anyways, so we mentioned budget was $33 million,
and it made $33 million.
Oh, so I think the budget was actually 36, but it made 33
domestically,
and
then 66 internationally.
Foreignly, as we just
foreignly. Yeah,
foreignly.
As another Mike-ism, foreignly.
Chapter
it's gonna be
20,
in the book. Yeah.
Foreignly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Talk about
the book of Mike
policies. not the kind you see on the news, like my kind.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so go back. You're done with your stuff and the thing.
No. So, I love that they managed to work in everybody's like outfit.
Pretty damn close.
At one point or another in the movie, by the end of it, they all even magically where Balrog just suddenly shows up in like a. You know, shorts, tank top, and boxing
and
gloves.
And his, like, digress
like,
from, like,
what?
An outfit. Like, he had, like, his shirt on, like, an
like
overshirt.
Yeah, he
and
had
then
his
it
outfit
comes off,
on underneath.
And then it was, like, then you saw the like, the tank top fighting thing. And then his pants got ripped, so then you see that he has the boxing, like, the old, like, 80s boxing shorts on. And then just somehow finds a pair of boxing gloves. It's, like, I get he's wearing the tank top under his shirt and the shorts under his pants. The boxing gloves were where now? You know, like tucked behind. He's
it,
like,
it was
time to put them on now.
It was going at a rate, like, had this gotten a sequel, it would have just been him in a banana hammock the whole time. Like, was that like he was losing? Like he was losing that much.
No, but he was getting into uniform at that point.
Yeah, but it was slowly just losing layers. So eventually, if that continues,
the other one I thought was funny, which like,
and he was a black guy too.
Yeah, so that nailed it. So the other one that I thought was funny about the cost of the outfit was E. Honda had the Hawaiian shirt on. He takes it off, so he was just bare chested with the pants. But then eventually he got like a smear of something on his face, like he had in the game where he had
like that
Y shape that he has on his face, where it's like big one swipe and then one over his brow. I was like, wow, they even went that far and said, yes, he has that thing on his face.
Well, that exact scene too, where they end the fight between him and
he
Zangief.
Rips his pants,
but no, Zangief has the same
markings
all over. Like they look like they're supposed to be scars, but they look like somebody just took a marker that just went.
You got a scar. Got a scar.
And then at the end, when they're all sitting there talking, you can see that they're wiped off because he like put a coat on because it must have been cold during filming. So you can see him smudged on his shoulder. I was like,
pretty awesome. But no, so I think they got the characters right for the most part. It was fun. The plot was not there.
Plot?
Really?
I'm not even, what was the plot?
Bison's just trying to take over the world.
Oh, trying to take over that one country. That's right, yeah.
Well, eventually he wanted to go over the world, but yeah, he was starting out
in
that one country.
Bucks.
Well,
Thailand.
It wasn't Thailand. It was
it was Thailand, basically.
Something like that.
Had dirty water and a bunch of,
yes, it was filmed. It was filmed in Thailand, essentially Thailand.
Tony Jaa come to the rescue.
He was like seven when this movie came out.
He's not even born yet. He's just sitting there,
just punching out of his mom's fucking uterus.
I'm pretty sure that's how he's born.
Protecting elephants and shit.
Yep. He's like, "Do not kill." Like this one line from the Protector: "Do not kill."
Did you see Protector 2 yet?
No, it came out on Blu-ray and stuff the other day. I saw it. I was walking by. I was like, "Hey, that." I'm pointing at Joe, but it's not him. I saw it on the DVD rack at work. I was like, "Hey, that's Protector 2. I should.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
I should watch that at some point. I didn't realize it came out.
They released a 3-pack for the Unbox series. Too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
where like one was like modern time, and then 2 and 3 were like actual sequels to themselves, but they were best back in the day. That was weird. I don't know.
I like the modern time one. I saw 2.
I liked the first one. 2 and 3 were okay, but
I never saw 3.
Yeah,
2 was okay. I really want to see Protector 2 because that's modern time, right?
Yes, yeah, because that's the actual sequel from Protector, in a way. I don't know if it's the same guy, but... So, you were saying characters nailed it. Anything else you wanted to add before
just
I mentioned
action.
Tony Jaa punching people from vaginas?
It's something to sit... Not, you know, it's not... You're not there to listen to the plot or anything. You're literally there to just go, he's using a joystick from
his little
hover desk, as he calls it. My desk! I was like... First off, sir, that's not a desk. Nah. It's a control console. Get it fucking right.
Give that back to Bowser because he's looking for it in a Mario movie.
We have to post the Mario one first because there's so many things that are similar.
I will. We'll post this one next month.
So, all right. So you're listening to this. You've already listened to the Mario Brothers.
If you haven't, fuck you. Go back and listen to it. Thank you for downloading our new stuff.
To the people that are nice enough to listen.
Let me finish.
This is their first podcast they're listening to.
Let me finish.
They're assholes.
Hey, let me finish. Fuck you for not joining us earlier. Go back and listen to that one, but thank you for subscribing. That's what I was going to say.
At least you end it with a thank you.
I didn't get cut off.
Yeah, so he's got... Well, we'll get into it.
Yes.
You know, but there's a lot of similarities.
Michael.
All right. My thing about this one, it's mildly enjoyable just because...
It's awful.
It's cheesy as fucks. The only real thing like that would have stopped this from, in my head... Remaining like a, all right.
Just keep going. Allergies just suddenly got to me.
Okay. What stopped this from being more a movie that I think I would have enjoyed a lot more is the fact that there was like really no fighting till the very very end of the movie. Like there was, I wish it was more like a Mortal Kombat was set up.
Like fighting, like in the
like they had. Fights like they show the contest.
It's like the one like we're like, oh, we're gonna see Ryu and Vega fight. Nope.
No,
we'll get to it. Anyways,
so but yeah, so there's no like really there's some minor action sequences, but no real like fight scenes until the very, very end of the movie. And it's like, yo, you got Van Damme in the 90s, like
put him prime.
He need a minimum of 3 major fight scenes. You know, you need the first one, the one in the second act, and you need the big finale.
Where he split kicks somebody.
Yeah, and other people should had a couple fight scenes, like Agent May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent May. I don't know. Playing Chun-Li.
Yeah, she played Chun-Li. It was awesome. But yeah, so that was the one thing compared, because you if you listen to the Mario Brothers one, you know we bitched about they missed so many opportunities just to throw in little throwbacks to the game. This movie didn't, actually. Like, the story and everything was kind of horseshit, and the acting was pretty bad.
Pretty bad?
But the one thing they did, characters look like they should have. They
except
did
except for one of them.
Oh well, yeah, well that's a money issue.
it's just a different fucking actor. You could have got the guy who played Zangief, painted him green, and had him do other scenes. Like yeah. He's a big dude.
that's a good point. Throwing a wig on him, he would look just like he's supposed to.
You know, like come on.
But with that, the characters for the most part look like they should have. They're throwing little homages into the game, like the control panel being literally
the control panel from
the arcade games. You saw Capcom in a couple of different areas. Yep. Yeah. Some of you know, and so that was cool to see. Like apparently, this filmmaker compared to the guy who did Mario Brothers actually played the game once or twice.
I'm thinking they actually got some instructions and some help from Capcom, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like said, hey, maybe. Capcom, what would you like to see in this since your name's on it?
Yeah. They're like, our name? Characters need to look right. But yeah, so I mean it for as much as we're gonna make fun of him, or as much as as it wasn't very good, it did actually do a lot of cool things that, you know, you probably would suspect it wasn't smart enough to do, but it you know what I mean? But it
backhand of confidence. I've ever heard one before.
Yeah, but I mean, it did nail some cool shit that was kind of cool to see. If you've familiar with the video games, you got to see it. Like I said, they used the different fighting styles. They used moves straight out of the video game, so that was cool to see. It was a lot of nice little details.
It was fun.
It would have been. I'm with you, but I think it would have been fun had they given me more fight scenes in it.
Okay.
Like, literally, the story was so bad, they could have chopped half of it, and no one would have noticed, you know? So, replace that horse shit with fight scenes, it would have been a more entertaining movie. That's the only... Cody, your turn.
This piece of crap. So, I also remember going to see it in theaters and being super fucking excited, because, like, many a weekend spent at 7-Eleven playing Street Fighter 2.
At 7-Eleven?
The 7-Eleven across. Well, no.
Arcades in San Diego?
We did, but because I wasn't old enough to drive yet. No, listen.
We didn't have 7-Elevens.
It's because you're in Arizona. Where we lived, we weren't close enough to get it, and I didn't have a car because I wasn't old enough to drive. So the best part was the 7-Eleven across the catty corner from the apartments I grew up in had two arcade games, and it was either. Always, it was either some form of Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, and the other one was some kind of shoot game that never worked on the left side.
God, I was spoiled.
No matter what.
I literally had an arcade next to the movie theater we went to.
See, we had one. We had an arcade next to the movie theater we went to, but we couldn't always go to that movie theater whenever we wanted to, so we'd always go to 7-Eleven, get Slurpees, nachos, and play Street Fighter.
Hmm. My grandmother worked at AMF, or...
Whoa.
Before.
Whoa. It's not to mention that. Name dropping.
She
over
worked at a bowling alley.
There we go.
The bowling alley in town. So I grew up with access to that arcade, which was actually a pretty solid arcade for a bowling alley.
Same things. My parents worked at bowling alleys. We were able to go there.
So
but
yeah, that's
not all the
that's
time.
Where all my we had another arcade called the Lion's Den in Yuma, which actually back in the day before
was it run by Ken Shamrock?
Yeah. It was weird. It was all fighting games. that arcade was actually pretty good. I remember it being pretty cool. Small, but the stuff was in it was really, really good. So it was either the Lion's Den or at the, it was called Inca Lanes was the name of the bowling alley. That one always had a pretty nice, it always had Mario, it had track and field for a long time, Street Fighter, always had one race game.
Did you ever have NARC? Remember NARC?
No, I remember NARC.
It was a side scroller. It was like ones where you could go like up and down on the top of the screen. But when you got the drug dealers you go after because you're a narcotics dealer, but you were covered in head to toe in armor and shooting things. They would throw needles at you and they'd stick in you.
No, I'll
pull up the video later and show you guys. It's ridiculous.
So I spent a ton of time there, but that one had a Street Fighter, but it wasn't one or two. It was one of the later on ones where it really like amped up and the environments were kind of interactive and you could throw people through barrels that were listed on there. But I can't remember which one that was. At least three.
Probably three, yeah.
You know, at the earliest, it had to have been at least three.
Tons of money pumped into those arcade games for a long time. Two was Turbo and three was Nitro?
I don't remember.
Whatever. I don't remember.
Well, one because cool they thing, too, editions. They always had... It started off, they had Cruisin' USA.
Yeah, I was going to say Cruisin' USA.
They added Rush.
Oh,
Rush was awesome.
And they made a bastard child Fast and Furious version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stupid games.
It's enough about arcades, I guess.
Yeah, anyway, so I remember playing this movie a lot. We'll get to it. We'll rush through it. It's fine. There's nothing to really talk about. It's not like we just have to develop plot for them. Bad guys taking over some country. Anyways, so... We used to play all the time, so when we got to go see it, I was like, yes, this is going to be awesome. Because remember the trailer's like, oh, fight scene, all these different, like, that looks like so-and-so, that looks like so-and-so. Yeah. You go and you're like, fuck this movie. It's like this.
None of that happened.
None of this, like, you get to the end, you're like, Cammy didn't fight anybody.
Oh, yeah, huh?
She shot some guys.
Yeah, but she didn't fight anybody. She's like, ah, pew! I was like, and then I was like, what, no? And I didn't know who Kahneman was at the time, but I was like, she didn't do anything, like, and then the guy, like, what was with the other dude? We'll get to it, too. What always had the bandage on his head? Like, was he supposed to be somebody?
The dude with the bandage on his head.
It was always the two of them. There's Kylie Minogue, and there's Cammy, and there's the other guy. It was always with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And he had a bandage on his head for, like, the longest time, and at the end, he had the bandana, the real thin bandana.
I forgot the character's name. He's one of the Indian characters. That
narrowed it down, you're racist.
Ha, racist.
At least I know which character he is.
Yeah, you're racist.
I was going to be really racist with his names. I think it was like, because Apache Chief, I think, is really the character's name.
Isn't that a character from Mortal Kombat?
I'm pretty sure that's a character for something.
There's a guy in here on the list who is Greg Rainwater, but his character's name is T-Hawk.
Yes, that's what it is.
T-Hawk,
yeah, that's what his character's name
is. Wow, they did not nail him at all then.
He wasn't a very big character in the film. And I think he only doesn't show up until like Street Fighter 3, I want to say.
Well, this is all based right after Street Fighter 2, though, right?
Some of the story is.
Well, not the story, but the
I don't
the
think character. 3
no,
came
no,
out.
Actually, some of the story for Blanca is based off of Street Fighter 2. One of the second editions, because that's where you find out, which is weird when we hop into the movie, how he meets Guile meets Blanca, and he's all Charlie, like did they ever even establish at any point in time that was his law? Because in Street Fighter, you find out that Blanca is Charlie, which is Guile's long lost friend from in the military. And he was kidnapped and turned into Blanca, and that plot line is literally taken from the video game.
Yeah, because they're in the.
I just don't remember them ever saying it in here until they get to the end.
At the very, very, very start of the movie,
the very, very start.
Van Damme's talking to Bison through the news reporter show. Somehow.
Oh, that's
we're
right.
Coming
and
home.
He's
yeah.
all
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you know, hang in there, Charlie.
Yeah, and then also when they're on the the Hulk Hogan boat.
Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah, Thunder in Paradise boat. Which we'll get to. He puts in that cassette player because eventually they apparently have beta players on that boat. So they put it in there. And they watch that video of like him.
And he's in it.
Which is at the. I just found out in the trivia that the guy sitting next to him was actually. Or the lady sitting next to him was actually at the time Van Damme's wife. And then there's the dude and they zoom in and you can see it says Carlos on his thing, which is, Charlie. But so anyways. But what I was saying is they don't have a plot.
No plot.
Yeah, it was awful. So we'll go into the breakdown, I guess, now. Real quick, because, we're running out of time. Don't look at the time, kids. So start of the movie. Where did it start? We were making fun of something.
Chun-Li was reporting.
Oh, there's reporting, yeah. And then...
pay attention next time.
To Simpsons. So I was thinking it was the other part, but yes, that came out later. So it starts off with Chun-Li doing a report about the takeover of this country by the evil dictator Bison. They always refer to him as Bison, sometimes M. Bison, mentioned a couple times. Then you see the interior of his lair, and he says something to DJ about turning that up, and they switch to it, and he brings it to the main Jeopardy screen on there. And then that's when Guile shows up for the first time, grabs the mic phone from her because she's trying to get information from him, and then he threatens Bison, and they decide to change the broadcast so no one else can see it except for them, because he controls the satellites in that area, apparently, which they use Google Maps later to pinpoint him exactly. And then he threatens them, and then that was pretty much that part. You get slightly introduced to E. Honda and Balrog at the same time. And then Cammy comes and kicks E. Honda out of the van. The van jumps up real high because he's a big dude and weighs a lot, and the van jumped up 4 feet. And then they shut the broadcast off, trying to track M. Bison. And then I think that's it for that scene, right? And then it jumps to Ken and Ryu, right?
Yeah.
At meeting. Well, we don't know their meeting yet. They go in and they show a cage fight with a guy who has three metal blades and a mask on, which obviously we know as Vega. Yeah. And then they go to meet a henchman. Brings them over, and they're going to meet at that time Saget. Not Bob, Victor. And then he's got the bald head, the eye patch. Eric, who was here earlier, was mentioning it's the guy who played the Sphinx in Mystery Men, mm-hmm. which is funny because he talked exactly the same way as he did in this one. It was funny as hell. But he's also in Last Mohicans and in Avatar and a bunch of other stuff too. But and then they even, speaking of that, remember they're talking about thing later on, he actually gets the scar, the cut on his chest, the big cut makes the scar on it.
Yeah, so that's pretty funny. They really nailed the cast.
Yeah, they definitely did that for sure. So then they get there, they get their money. Then Saget says, or they say, as soon as we get back, we'll deliver your weapons. He's like, don't worry, my men already got it. And they show him, and they're like, got guns pointed at him, and they shoot little, like, fucking Nerf balls at him for some reason. He's like, I don't like being toyed with. And they attack him. They beat him up. But they overpower him. And then they force Ryu to fight Vega. Build up with this really goofy song. Like, the song didn't fit the apropos moment of, like, them getting ready to fight to the death, you know? And then Saget goes over to Ken and goes, are you studying? He's or what are you doing? He's like, I hope you're studying because you're next or something. Garbage like that. And then all of a sudden, the fucking a big old fucking armored vehicle plows through the wall and the people who are watching this fight. It's Guile, Jean-Claude Van Guile, Cammy and his crew, and they're like, you're all under arrest. And I was like, that's not gonna work.
And this giant group of people just throw their hands
they're
up
like,
slowly.
Okay.
Yep. Under arrest.
And that was it.
It's like, wait, you can just run, like they're you just go.
Nah, they're surrounded on one side.
Oh, okay. Good plan. So then we go to the prison, right? Yep. Yeah, the prison. Yep. When you go to the interior, they're building a plan to go after Bison, figure out where he's at, because they got some of his location because of the news broadcast that they're because they took over and hijacked it. So like, oh, let's reverse it. And then there's the Ken and Ryu are in the prison yard. Saget sets up an attack. Vega shows up with a makeshift mask and the bamboo claws that have hooks on the end of it. Because apparently he has to fight with
a
claw thing. They're fighting. They're actually doing good because they're beating up all the dudes. And then one of them is beating up the other dudes. Ken is like kind of throwing punches, as Mike pointed out. Like, wasn't really fighting.
Yeah, the whole time he throws one kick at the very end of the movie, and you could tell it's a cutaway scene. They do it really, really fast because it's not him throwing
it. No, because he's that fast.
No, he's not that fast. This dude didn't know anything about any type of martial art.
He was so fast. The only reason you saw a kick from him, because the director said, "Whoa, dude, you're too fast. The camera can't pick you up. We're only 60 frames per second. Please slow it down." That's when they had to do it. And that's a little bit you saw. They're like, "Well, at least we got one of them."
I'm pretty sure that's not what happened, but okay.
What? Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
More like he's a big piece of shit that can't fight.
Fair enough. we were talking about Damon Chapa, by the way. So fuck you, Damon.
Yeah, learn how to throw a kick if you're going to be in a fucking movie based on a fight video.
Yeah.
Man. I'm pretty sure he just walked on the set. Yeah. Like, hey, you kind of look like that dude.
If we give you blondish hair.
Yeah.
Because no one can be blonde in this movie, apparently. They'll be gingers. Then they go, they hear a ruckus up in the war rooms. So they go over to the window, T-Hawk, Cammy and, Guile are looking down. They're like, "Who's that?" And he just mysteriously has their files right there.
Yeah.
And he goes, Ken, blah, blah, blah. And Ryu, blah, blah, blah. I'm pretty sure it's probably close to real names. And then, so he's like, "Oh, okay. Bring them to me." And they hatch this plan where they're going to become friends with Saget and Vega, and then they're going to get brought into the inner circle of M. Bison. And so the plan is that they're going to cause an escape. So they do the worst escape possible, but then you find out reason why is because it's staging, essentially. But they stage a fight as they're being loaded into the back of the prisoner transport, steal the keys off of a soldier. They get in. They get their cuffs out. They break out of the truck before it's even left the little camp prison camp thing.
Because why wouldn't you just
wait till you get out and then break loose? We'll find out in a minute. So then they hijack the truck with all the prisoners in it, bust through the gates. They're going through town trying to get away. People are shooting at them. And then Guile jumps out in the road, pistol in hand, shoots the front of the vehicle, breaks the light, things like that. Then Ken pops out of the back with the gun he stole from one of the soldiers and fires at him and hits him twice in the gut. Guile falls down. They drive away. Guile's dead.
Dead.
Dun, dun, dun. And then Chun-Li reports on the news. So M. Bison's like, "Ha ha, my foe is dead. The country's mine. There's no one to stop me."
Yeah, he was a little bit...
He wanted to fight him.
He wanted to fight Guile.
Oh, no, I can't fight him now. Oh, well, I'll take the country instead. So then we jump to the bazaar where M. Bison has this big black market set up where all these people are coming to trade and sell and stuff. And so they go there. A circus act that looks very familiar is performing. And you realize, if you pay attention, it's Chun-Li and crew. And they're doing this thing, and they put her in a barrel, and then E. Honda picks the barrel up and throws at Balrog, and then he like lays down, and Balrog puts the barrel on him, and then he gets his big scimitar out and like chops the barrel. Oh,
big
she's
what?
Gone. Scimitar? The sword? You know, the Aladdin sword?
Yeah.
Nah, I know it as a sword.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I guess I'm too dumb to keep
they all
with
look
yeah.
the same.
Yeah, you fucking swordist.
Swordist.
Can't be a racist. They're not racist. They're types. Typist? How's that?
Yeah.
Not like a typist, like a you identify things just being generalized.
Yeah, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, you are. At least you can admit it now. So then we find out it's them. She sees Ken. She thinks Ken notices her. But he just sees boobies because he's a horn dog and not a fighter, as Mike pointed out. So then she
he's
like
a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, she gives him the little like googly eyes to come over. So it really was that.
Yeah.
He follows her out the tent while Ryu was trying to talk to him about the plan. Blah 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 blah.
And he's all like, "Shut up, Ryu! I'm gonna get laid, son."
Yeah. And then we get introduced.
That wasn't in the
movie. We get introduced to Bison Bucks for the first time because Saget has a meeting with Bison about the money or about the guns, and then he opens up the big chest that's supposed to have the money in, and it's just all Bison bucks with Bison's picture on them, and he's like, this isn't worth the paper it's printed on. He goes, soon when I take over, it'll be five times worth what the English pound's worth. And I was like, well, that's oddly specific.
Well, because he was going to kidnap the
Queen of England. Yeah, whatever. Because that makes money more fucking valuable. Oh, and he's going to have a dance party with her.
Inside joke.
That's exactly what the dance party would be. gross.
You guys should be here sometimes. You'll get more of the jokes.
Funnier when you're actually seeing it, which is great for an audio podcast. Hey, look at how funny Joe's shirt is.
We're so good at this.
Yep. Idiots. We're all idiots. So then
5 years in, we're hitting
Saget's like, upset. And then, 5 years in. Another inside joke that actually hasn't been on yet. Yeah, it's on the other torture theater one. So you'll hear it at one point. Hopefully I play these in order. Not Fox. They go, Bison's like, don't worry, if you stick with me, not only we have money, but I'll give you part of the country when I take over, blah, blah, blah. Then Ken stumbles out, gets taken out by Agent Horny May, Chun-Li, and the tent. You hear him kind of get accosted or whatever. Ryu shows up, then E-Honda and Balrog grab him, throw him in the tent. And they like, oh, we know who you are, blah blah blah. And then they're like, we know you work for Captain or Colonel Guile. We know he's alive because I skipped over the part where he woke up in the morgue with her trying to sneak in, which is the worst security possible. But whatever. Anyways, skipped over. He's not actually dead. Spoiler. And then so they formulate a plan to blow it up, and they're like, yeah, you guys are insane. So they go back into the tent where they know the bomb's at. Walk right in between the turf war between Saget and M. Bison. And so Ken gets grabbed by one side, Ryu gets grabbed by the other, and then you hear like Chun-Li's voice going off. Her voice going off, blah, blah. And they're like, the bomb's over there. Like, this should go over there. And they open it up, and there's like just a TV. It's not really the bomb. And then you see her, and she's like, hello, M. Bison.
It's got a live
Saget.
Feed somehow. Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, and they show, like, them plant a bomb in, like, the weapon truck that, oddly enough, has the circus logo that they were using that has weapons in it. Whatever. Then they roll it at the tent they're in. It's supposed to blow up, so everyone evacuates, and then it blows up. But as you pointed out?
Me.
You, Mike pointed out.
It's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, so this big explosion, like Michael Bay type explosion, goes off, right? All these trucks are burning. Then you see the close-up of it where you can see the circus symbols at, and none of the boxes in the back, none of the crates are burnt.
Munger pointed that out. Nothing in the back is actually burnt.
Nothing blown up. Like,
my favorite part of the movie came the very next scene. They cut away to Bison walking into his like his lair with the big Jeopardy screen that we were talking about, and then all of a sudden Chun-Li and her people are tracked down. Like,
no, you have to
there.
Tell them because these Google Maps, remember?
Yeah,
he says DJ, find me these people.
Yeah, so they do like a Super Troopers enhance, and then
so
next scene
their IDs,
they just have them.
And then they have them there. It's like
it's like they didn't show like show them getting them, show them being taken, or
this
anything.
This thing was running pretty long. They had to edit something out.
Yeah,
like,
it was a whole 105 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like literally like, it's like, oh, they blew up our weapons, enhance, bam, they're here.
Got
like,
them.
It's like the computer got them after enhancing them all the way down and then just grabbed them.
So then they're there, and Bison says, take her to my chambers for a private interview. Private, get it? Private. The other ones have to go to the
sex.
The prisoner, E-Honda, Balrog get locked up. E-Honda gets tortured, but he like does the thing where
he's Samoan, so his mind can be in one place
sumo.
And his body in the
sumo.
Other.
He says, because I'm sumo.
That's because he said he's Samoan.
No, he said sumo. Apparently, that's what happens when you're a sumo. Anyways, so he gets caned and like the dude hits him so
but
hard
he's being
it breaks
a badass
him.
About it. He's not showing
not
it.
Crying. He's like picking his teeth at one point, and like Balrog's like, oh shit, like, and he's laughing at the torture guy, and the torture guy punches him and leaves all angry. He's like, nye, 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 I'm mad, he can't hurt him. So then they
that was a really good impression.
You like that? It was spot on, right? You thought he was here? It was crazy, right? Yeah, I've been practicing. So then the guard leaves. Balrog, who's apparently just holding on to chains with little, like, freely moving around with them, pulls over, gives it to Honda. They use their force and just break the shitty metal that's constructed, which you find out the entire place is constructed with erector sets and bubblegum. Breaks it loose. They escape. They can't get out yet because the cell's locked. Then we find out that Ken and Ryu are becoming part of their martial arts force, so they get their red and white gis. Mm-hmm. They're walking
now
through.
Now they look like this shit.
Yeah, they do. And then we go through them, and then they, like, they're working their thing, like, talking about their plan in the open, by the way, just, like, around everybody else. It doesn't matter. So then they go and goes to Bison talking to Chun-Li, and she's now looks like she's in her Chun-Li outfit, except for instead of being blue, it's red. The classic one is always blue, but whatever. She's got the bun hairdo.
I read that. It was like it was from Street Fighter 2, like Turbo.
Yeah, it's based on it. They called it like the Dragon.
Something like that, yeah.
But it was actually from a game, just
yeah.
not
Yeah, I know, but like the one everyone thinks of when they think Chun-Li is the blue and white.
With the white.
Not
the
anymore. Pops.
With the and
not
white
after
ribbons.
After we reintroduce this movie to the world.
Yeah. We yeah, you're welcome, world.
Joe's like, no, don't.
I think Joe almost threw up in his mouth. Like, there was a little, like, was that vomit you're forcing down, or just trying to shake your head fast?
Just shake
okay.
my head
well, I was
fast.
Like, don't throw up in here. It's going to smell bad, and we still have to record.
And I get to leave. Ah.
No, you don't. You have to sit in your own vomit.
Oh.
That's all over Mike's iPad. So then they argue about some nonsense, and she's chained up, and she tries to fight him, and then she breaks loose. Oh, then it jumps to Ken and Ryu. They knock out the jailer, open up the cell, get accosted by E Honda and Balrog again. They are being choked, and he's like, "I think he said we can let us outside." He's like, "No, we're on your side." Anyways, then they go after Defree, Chun-Li, who's now fighting with M. Bison and actually whooping his ass. Like, she was winning that fight.
Oh, yeah.
And then she got distracted. He ran into his little safe room. Hit the button, the door shuts, they can hit, which the door is moving, like you saw how shitty that was built, because it was like hitting it, and it's like this, and then Ehan is like, let me at him, and they're about to let him go, and then gas fills the room, they try to escape, the door shuts, they pass out, boom, now they're captured again, because they're awful at this. Then we get to see the AN force, which is supposed to be like the UN, but like Allied Nations that are United Nations, forming up to go after Bison. Some English dude shows up, says, "Hey, we're going to give Bison his money. You don't have to fight him." And he's like, "So you're like no longer having to do this?" And he's like, "So I'm fired." He says, "Yes." He's like, "Fuck it, let's go after Bison." So then he tells the troops, "Let's go after him." And he's like, "Oh, I can't stop him." And then like he's going to, "You have to." And then drops the paperwork, and they get in the Tropic Thunder boat. Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder. That's a whole different boat. The Thunder in Paradise boat. Which is a small one. It's not the deluxe one that Hulk Hogan had, but it's three people still, comfortably, yeah. Pretty much. And has a video beta player in it.
Didn't have
nice.
No jet skis in the back, though. No.
Yeah, it's the smaller version, man.
Cheap
ass. Yeah, well, you know, the AN, not very big on spending money. So then a bunch of boats go after him. They break loose. There's a camo thing where, like, we can still see it, but, like, it activates some kind of weird camo that can't be seen, even though... When we see it with our eyeballs, we can see it just looks funny. But when Bison has it on camera, you see the wake of the boat, but no boat, which I thought was really odd. Because, like, I saw a wake of a boat, which means there's something there.
Oh, I love that they had it, like, perfectly zoomed in on
yeah,
that one
I know,
part,
right?
too.
On that one part, he's like, oh, what's that making the movements there? And then they're
and
blowing
it stayed
up.
Perfectly focused
framed,
on it,
yeah.
too, because they cut away from it and cut back to it, like, five times.
Yeah.
yeah.
And the boat's in the exact same spot
yeah.
every time.
And then so the. The Thunder in Paradise boat, Thunder in Paradise Mini, I guess, pulls out a Gatling gun and shoots the radars that are just mounted on the side of the river really close to each other, and then they blow up because apparently everything made in this place is just made of explosives. Like
explosions and sparks.
Yeah, literally just... It's like seriously the worst like 80s electronics ever. So that's blown up. Just more and more of them. It's like, how many of these do you put next to each other? Like, spread them out a little bit.
Enough.
I guess it's better for wiring if they're really close, but, you know, ipso facto. So they're blown up, and then M. Bison's like, let's go to thermal something or other, and then they do something that causes the like targeting it that causes the
they jam the stealth thing
so it jams it, so it goes, and then all of a sudden the camera that was focused right on it has this weird like shockwave thing comes off it and electricity, and boom, you can see the boat all of a sudden, and it's like, wow, that's worse than that show Viper that Mike mentioned, because that's exactly what it looked like. It was, and then so they shoot at them, they're shooting at them, and they're like, oh, let me get my little floaty desk thing here that Koopa should have. Gets in, and that's when you first see the Street Fighter 2 console, which is the two-player console that has the world map behind it, the yellow and blue one. And he goes, and he's using all these joysticks and hitting all these buttons, and it's just releasing mines straight up. Like, he's not steering, he's not shooting at them. Like, they're just coming up from the bottom of the river, which is weird that they have those that easily. That they should have known of, but whatever. They knew the towers were there, but whatever. So then they're blown up, and John Klein's like, well, we're getting out early. So then they jump out, and then it blows up the boat, and they think, yet again, Guile's dead, because that's what happens.
Nobody confirms anybody's
not
dead in this
not a goddamn
movie.
Thing. Nope. The paramedics come over at one point and say, yeah, he's dead, like when he got shot, the blood scrubs, remember, like, on the cardboard he was still wearing it, and the morgue, yeah. Hours later, he's still pretending to be dead. Until May found him. And then, so cuts back in. He's like talking about his plan. He's going to release Blanca on him. But then Blanca's broken free because of Dalsim, who does not fit the character at all. Like, he's not.
Well, he
he's
does
a scientist.
Later on.
Well, yeah, in the outfit, he looks closer to it, but like, he doesn't really fit. Like, not a tall, like, slender dude or whatever. He's like an old scientist guy.
No, but they did hint at, like, he gets splashed with chemicals at one point during a fight, and it's like, oh, that might give him his superpowers.
Might give him the stretchy,
like,
fucking
fizzy
powers.
Like, if they made a sequel,
and
he could suddenly
blow fire.
Be... Yeah, exactly.
Blow some fire. Sorry, that was from the game, Mike. Don't stare at me like I'm a psycho. Yeah, it's better. Stare at Joe. So then they're fighting. He hits the guard that looks like a braided don't take his drink has a basically our friend Chris Furman looks like exactly like him but with braided long hair
and fat
and
like
fatter
a really
yeah like
fat
if Furman stopped working out and got old, that's exactly what it looked like.
And ate another human being
eventually. Anyway, so he knocks him out, he falls in electricity that somehow does something or other, but then wakes back up, throws Dalsim into the chemical electrical thing. He gets electrified, and the chemicals spray on him, and then he burnt his shirt, gets all messed up. So now he has the metal collars on, the shirtless with the what looks like the ripped pants or whatever. Bison opens up the thing, but then when the chamber comes up, it's Guile, and he does a magical like. Flying
fucking 40
dragon
foot
kick, yeah,
jump
like over
kick.
These big spiky sword things that they put up. So, because Blanca was supposed to eat all the hostages and stuff or whatever, or beat him up. I'm not too sure what he was supposed to do because that part is like, yeah, my monster.
I don't think anybody was supposed to know what he was supposed
to
do.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter. So then that's when the actual real fighting starts, like not a sucker punch to get the guard out or any of that stuff. Is an actual fight's gonna happen. And so Guile's just fucking, Street Fighter. That's the noise I'm making for, you know, I'm fighting people. And then sort of doing the thing, and he's losing, because that's what M. Bison does. All hell breaks loose. The hostages, or the prisoners, which are like, you know, our main cast, Ken, Ryu, Chun-Li, all them, they're handcuffed to this rail. They just break loose right
yeah,
out
like
there,
they could have done it at any time.
Yeah.
But.
And then doesn't even show them, like, take their handcuffs off. They're just, like, all of a sudden then free.
Yep.
Because the railing broke, even though it's like one long rail. Anyways, so they're fighting against the guards, and they're kicking ass, and they're like, we got to save the people. So then people go this way, and people go that way, and then like Vega and Sagat show up where Ryu's at, because Ken's followed DJ. DJ stole what we think is a big thing of money, which if you paid attention earlier in the movie, was the big chest that he gave to Sagat. Anyways, so DJ runs away with that because he doesn't want to fight and die, because he's not fucking stupid. He just... money, it's all it is. So he runs, Ken follows him there, sees a security monitor, goes, oh, let's open the main gate here or whatever, and he's hitting things, he's Ryu's in trouble, so then he goes rescue him because he's got to fight Vega and Sag at the same time. They team up, ba ba ba, boom boom, street fight. One wins, the other is almost about to lose, and he goes Hadouken, and then that's when we see the super fast kick that Ken finally does, which is obviously definitely not him, because it's like,
yeah,
sort of from behindish next to him. Don't see the actor's like head
over,
and then like spins, spin kick thing, like the like
real quick. It's real like quick. A real cut,
and then it goes scene. Back to him standing there. Like it's obviously not the same actor. He defeats Saget, and then Ryu defeats Vega. They run over. He leaves him with his gold statue that he was gonna take for his own, but then he didn't. And then they run up. They meet up with Chun-Li, Balrog, all them. At this point, we skipped over it now, but E Honda's fighting Russian. I can't think of his name right now.
Zangief.
They're slowly getting into their costumes from fighting each other. Pants are ripping, shirts ripping off. You see the scars that we talked about earlier that were like easily drawn on because you could see they're on with like just a marker.
Sharpies.
Yeah, like not even Sharpie because it wasn't even permanent. Like this is like markers, you know? Like
a dry erase.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was ridiculous. They run in like, well, got to stop the fight. And that's when, for some reason, DJ shows up in the same hallway that everyone else is running out of because of the secret door he went through. And then he sees Zangief, and Zangief's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm taking this money because like, I don't want to go down with this evil guy. He's like, evil? He's like, yeah, these guys are good, and Bison's evil.
Our boss is the bad guy.
Yeah, and he's
guy.
Like, what? Because he's super fucking dumb, and he's supposed to be like comic relief in a way.
Yeah.
Dumb as shit. And then so he's like, what? And so like he then goes, like this door is about to shut and trap everyone in because the explosives are going off. He grabs and lifts it up and saves everybody.
Do you realize about that part that everybody passed Zangief and Hunt? And
oh, yeah, I know.
And he talked to DJ. So it cuts that part. Zangief was outside.
Yeah, he's really quick.
He knew a shortcut.
And yeah. Then lifted. Yeah.
Shortcut.
Okay.
And he can walk through walls.
Yep.
Movie magic.
Movie magic.
Shitty editing. Continuity errors, which is the subtext of this movie. Street Fighter.
That was the tag on the poster.
Yeah, so Street Fighter. Continuity errors. like the part when, did you notice when Ken and Ryu together punched the guard? They didn't have gloves on. The next scene you see when they're in the thing, they have gloves on. But they had gloves on before they attacked him because they had gloves on when they went through the training thing. Anyways. Oh, and they ripped off the patches that said Bison on it. Anyways. So then we're almost to the end, kids. He opens the door. They get out. The big fight between Bison and Guile is coming to the end until Bison gets electrocuted. He gets resurrected because of his suit has built-in CPR and stuff and adrenaline. And then he like shoots somehow because of the electricity. Static electricity. He can shoot it out like the Emperor does with it out of his fists. But then his Nikes glow and he can fly and swing around. That's what he does. Like the whole flying punch, like double punch thing that. Somehow super slow, but Guile can't get out of the way of in this big open area that they're fighting in. He couldn't just go to the right,
sidestep
to the left, duck because he's like 4 feet off the ground. He can get away.
You don't have those directions in the game, so
it's only forward and back. That's right. This isn't Double Dragon, you fancy fuck.
One exactly. To the left, two to the right.
Yeah,
cha cha real slow now.
Yeah, exactly.
He did the cha cha to get out of the way.
So then they're like Guile's getting beat up and stuff, and then like, I don't remember what like he
punch,
was doing
punch,
something.
Kick,
then like
kick,
yeah, because like
he knocks him into the Jeopardy wall.
Well, no, because I was thinking like, what do you do? And then he's like, he comes back for another go at him, and then he does the little
the backflip kick,
but he didn't. He did the roundhouse kick
because that's Van Damme's bread and butter, dude.
Yep.
That's his thing.
Whatever. You're not fucking Van Damme. You're Guile.
He's Guile, played by Van Damme.
Belgian bastard. It's alliteration, kids. So then he basically sends him flying the other way into the Jeopardy Megatron screen thing. It crashes down. He books it, goes to meet Blanca and
Dhalsim.
They're like, no, we can't go. I'm a monster, which is the fucking worst makeup you can imagine. Because it's the same dude. They didn't like make him any bigger, even though he's like at 92% muscle growth. Nope, same dude, just painted green with a shitty orange wig and like prosthetics for a bumpy forehead makes him look like a caveman.
Like Angel when he turns
looks
into
worse
a vampire.
Than Angel.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Looks
like, that's
like
what it
Angel
me of.
Transformed into a vampire, got hit with a hot frying pan and couldn't go back. That's what it looked like. He had a big fat
face
nose.
Was fucked up when he went back human.
I got hit with a frying pan. So then they say, no, I have to, you know, atone for what I did to humanity. So they stay there and die. I don't know how that's atoning for it at all.
Well, they're going to come back in the sequel.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. So they sit there, rubble collapses, steam shoots out. Guile's like, shit. Oh, well, my best friend that I came all this way for to get. Oh, well, he's going to die, and books it. The temple starts to collapse and explosions going off. And then, boom, a big explosion goes off. And they're like, oh, no, Guile, whoa. And then he comes up behind them because apparently there's just secret entrances and exits all over this fucking temple. They're like, oh, thank God. And then, like, talking and like, yeah, I guess you guys are in those passports to Ryu and Ken. They're like, nope, we're going to stay and fix this country. Or like, this country's a shithole. Like,
the whole after that is just blah, blah.
Yeah, you know, and then there's nothing. Then the credits come up. You see all the main cast with Zangief now and all that stuff. And then it goes, boom, and they strike their pose. Cammy does the turnaround when she shows her butt in the camo pants and the blue onesie. And like everyone does their little winning fighter thing. Yeah. And he goes, boo, Street Fighter! Credits. Has the worst fucking music. The weird Good Morning Vietnam guys DJ, commentary.
Which we didn't get into.
Yeah, it's awful. And then it goes to the end of the credits, and guess what, kids?
In the credit scene. We get a Super Shredder scene.
You see that what looks like it's supposed to be the Jeopardy screens, which doesn't look it because they have giant metal fucking bars in them. Surrounding the monitors, which didn't happen before, and you see this one wrecked one, and then a fist comes out.
Dang.
Super
cut to black.
Bison cut to black. Thank God.
We're gonna get a sequel.
Yep.
But homeboy died.
Took the easy way out. So yeah. End thoughts. We'll go back to Joseph first.
Joseph.
We're reliving it yet again.
I still enjoy it. It's still stupid. It's still just
still
dumb
awful.
Action. It was really Transformers of its day.
A little worse than that, really. But yes,
Transformers 4 of its day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's whatever. Like I said, it should have had like two or three more big fighting scenes, like one-on-one scenes, and I think it would have been cool.
I could agree with that, yeah.
Cody hated it.
I love this movie.
All right, let's sign off.
That's why I spent all that money on it.
Money, air quotes.
Money. All right, so yeah, that's it for this episode.
Under an hour.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we had 20 minutes of fluff.
Yep. So, again, real quick, iTunes, subscribe, rate, review, Facebook,
like
share. Leave us some comments
and
about the episodes.
And if you share, let people know what it is. If you just share the page, which a lot of you have done, and we really appreciate it because it has grown the likes on it. But a lot of times if, you know, friends of a friends don't really know who we are or what this is, if you just share it without giving like a little bit of a description, they're just going to gloss right over it. So if you could let them know what this is, that it's free, that it's cool and all that shit, that'd be nice.
Yeah. And then, that's it. Thanks, guys, for listening yet again.
Bye.
We will talk at you later.
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. It's Come Naturally Podcast. See you guys later.
Peace. Later.
Sort of.